Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Don. You're listening to The Maggie Don Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We just concluded a discussion with Dr. Craig Spencer of Brown University. He's an ER physician, fought on the front lines of the COVID pandemic, also fought Ebola, contracted it himself in New York City back in 2014. He has spoken out publicly that Donald Trump's policies in almost every element of his administration are explicitly eugenic, that it is about establishing racial hierarchies, which ultimately, remember, also means that poor white folk don't count either, that working class white folk are simply a tool for the acquisition of additional political power and wealth for the elites in this country. That's who they want reproducing. Not working class white people, certainly not black and brown folks. I wanted to share with you to close out today's show some writings, some reflections on this topic by Julian Vasquez Hellig. He is a nationally recognized policy scholar, public intellectual, and civil rights activist. He has testified before the U.S. Congress, the United Nations, and the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. I'm going to read what he's written about this administration's explicitly racist and classist policies of eugenics. The roots of Nazi ideology were nourished by the same soil here in America that produced the Trail of Tears, the Chinese Exclusion Act, and the Tuskegee Experiment. What the Nazis did was to amplify America's own racial logic to its most monstrous conclusion. So when Americans invoke Nazi Germany as the ultimate evil, we often treat it as something alien to our national character. But this moral distance is a luxury built on forgetting our own history. Jim Crow segregation, the genocide of indigenous nations, and the exclusion of entire immigrant groups were not historical footnotes. They were the scaffolding upon which Hitler built his Reich. The lesson here is not that America is Nazi Germany, but that the structures of racial domination developed here set historical precedents that others copied. The original Antifa, folks, was the U.S. government itself in World War II. We were the anti-fascists. We were the liberators of the world from Nazi fascism. And yet, many here who condemned Hitler were avid segregationists, who advocating for maintaining apartheid in America for as long as possible. Black soldiers who fought fascism on behalf of the United States returned to find themselves banned from voting and housing and education by the very nation that they had defended. The federal government that had dismantled concentration camps was still running Native American boarding schools into the 1970s. This dissonance of us condemning racism abroad or denying its existence here while actively practicing it remains one of the greatest contradictions of American identity. And it explains why fascism in U.S. culture so often sounds like projection. We see in others what we refuse to acknowledge in ourselves. Recognizing this lineage doesn't diminish the horrors of the Holocaust, of course not, but it reveals how genocidal systems grow out of ordinary institutions, laws, schools, hospitals, police, and bureaucracies that appear neutral until they are not. It shows how the language of efficiency, of purity and protection can become the machinery of exclusion and extermination. When people insist it doesn't happen here, it can't happen here, history replies, it already did. Others took notes, and it is happening again today. If the past century has taught us anything, it is that ideas migrate easily across borders, ideologies, and generations. America exported both democracy and racism, both freedom and fascist technique. Which legacy we choose to nurture now depends on whether we are willing to see ourselves clearly in history's mirror. And this isn't about guilt, it is about responsibility. The same nation whose laws helped shape the Nuremberg Codes also gave birth to the civil rights movement, the Voting Rights Act, and the enduring belief that moral courage and clarity can bend the arc of history. We are heirs of both awakenings and atrocities, and facing that dual inheritance, honestly, is not self-hatred. It is the first step towards redemption. Denial keeps us trapped, but recognition opens the door to repair. The truth is that history, of course, does not repeat itself. It rhymes and reverberates. The forces that created Jim Crow, Native American boarding schools, and eugenic laws are not relics. They are patterns that are reemerging whenever fear triumphs over empathy. The antidote is not denialism. It is vigilance, education that names injustice, leadership that prioritizes truth over comfort, and citizenship that refuses to mistake silence for civility. We must confront the uncomfortable continuity. Our history is inspiring the politics of today. Scholars and activists have traced how the American settler colonial project, rooted in displacement, broken treaties, and the myth of manifest destiny, continues to echo in our politics here and globally. Lineage is not destiny. The same ingenuity that built systems of domination can dismantle them. The same bureaucracies that once enforced racial hierarchy can guarantee human dignity. The same nation that exported exclusion, we can now model repair. Reckoning with our history is not an act of despair. It is an act of reclamation. We reclaim the moral potential buried under centuries of denial and cloaking of inequity. We reclaim the possibility that the descendants of the racially oppressed can become the architects of justice. Doing so is the truest form of patriotism. I'm going to leave it there. I'll be back with y'all tomorrow.